This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says, in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker.
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next, whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, a hump day edition of According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or online at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and as always, joining me, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, good to see you this morning.
Hey, it's a great Wednesday. The sun's out. It's going to start warming up. McPherson Invitational Basketball Tournament starts tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
The next 2 weeks, the best 2 weeks of the – well, the next 10 days, I should say, are the best 10 days of the year, that's for sure.
We're starting to get excited about it, and we talked about it yesterday that the – girls bracket would be coming out today, and it did for the Mid-America Classic, and we'll be the first to give you the rundown of this thing. Before we dive into a fun Kansas State victory over Oklahoma last night, and before we have another special segment that we'll have coming up, we'll talk about this Mid-America Girls Classic and be able to dive back into it a little bit later. So the Bullpup girls, the number one seed, and they will take on Shawnee Mission South, who is 4-4. The Raiders of the Sunflower League, you will hear that as a theme in this year's Mid-America Classic. Then the game that they will have to keep their eye on, Olathe South, who has never lost at the Mid-America Classic and has never lost to the Bullpups. They are 7-2, and they are the 4 seed, and they will take on the 5th seeded Ulysses Tigers that are 7-4. So those are the two games that we'll be keeping our eyes on very
right,
closely.
Same side of the bracket. If McPherson and Olathe South are both successful, they would meet in Friday's semifinals. That's normally a championship game. They've met for the championship a few times. Olathe South 15-0 in this tournament, but if you look at their scores this year, they're 7-2, but they don't score a lot of points, so they're winning with defense this year.
And then the 2 seed is Hayes at 8-1, the 7 seed Wichita Northwest, the 3 seed Manhattan, and they will take on the 6 seed Shawnee Mission Northwest. So 3 members of the Sunflower League making their way here to the Mid-America Classic. Fills my heart with a little bit of joy, except for that first one.
It's also filling our hotels up.
I know.
We tried to get a reservation for our owners coming in, and it wasn't for Steve. Yeah, but we couldn't even find a hotel room that was open. So a lot of people coming in from the Kansas City area, Ulysses, you know, they're going to be staying a couple nights. So be a lot of economic boom in McPherson.
The restaurants
are going to be busy, you know, shops, people will go downtown on Saturday, waiting for the Friday and Saturday games. People from out of town want to check out McPherson, so this should be a real boon to the economy.
So get this, Steve. I was diving into the Olathe South Falcons and trying to learn a little bit more about this year's team, and I found out they have a first-year head coach.
Right.
Coach Allen. So Coach Allen...
No, he should be a second year.
Well, I think they had first year on the
they didn't change
media guy from last year.
This is his second year.
Well, either way, Coach Allen, he was a junior high basketball coach in the Olathe School District for a while, and he was the junior high coach of our rival team. So I played in a game that was coached by this coach who will be coaching for the Olathe South Falcons.
Yeah,
I'll have to tell him that story.
Yeah, and he stepped into some big shoes because Steve Ingram, the former Emporia boys coach, he was there, gosh, must have been 20-some years, and just turned out incredible. You know, Olathe South has an incredible tradition. They've won about 80-90% of their games over the last about 10 years. They don't hardly ever seem to win the big one, but they're always in the Final Four, it seems like, in Class 6A.
They have made it to what I saw in their media guide, 12 straight state tournament appearances. So that is very impressive. The other funny thing about that story is that when we were playing against him, I had a game that I think I scored decently well, like 6, 8, 10 points. But I set a really hard screen on a guy. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. Playing in their auxiliary gym, I set a hard screen, top of the key, and the point guard who was defending our point guard ran right into me. Brick wall.
Did you knock him down?
Not only knocked him down.
Knock him out?
Knocked him out.
Oh my gosh.
So he not only had a concussion, but broke his nose.
So you were the enforcer on your team.
I was a little bit of the enforcer. Okay. And at that point, I was still like 5'7", which at that point was big, and then I didn't grow a whole lot more after that. But I was the enforcer. And I think that that coach is going to remember me.
Oh, I'm
sure
he will.
Because I was the enforcer throwing bodies around.
There you go.
That is me. Well, after diving into that for a minute, let's talk about the Oklahoma Sooners and their dreadful performance against the K-State team last night that came out inspired. They came out and hardly missed the whole night. And K-State beat Oklahoma 87-69, their first top five win at home since they beat Oklahoma.
You know, they could have played with anybody last night.
Yeah.
They were really impressive. Barry Brown was under control, just tremendous. Cartier-Jara, mm-hmm. You know, just continues to give them that option in the backcourt.
16 points.
Yeah, Dean Wade was Dean Wade. And Dean Wade is going to be in the NBA. He is the perfect four-man for the NBA. About 6'9", can put the ball on the floor, can
hit the
three.
Did you know that Dean Wade is from a small town?
Coach Kinnaman.
You know he's from a small St. John. That's right. A small population.
I think they pointed that out a few times.
Have you heard about that guy?
They've pointed that out on the broadcast a few times.
You know, they don't mention Cade Kinnaman's from a small town.
Yeah, but
they just talk about Dean Wade.
Dean Wade is very skilled, and the only thing about Dean Wade is there's times where he just kind of gets real passive. But when he's aggressive, he's as good as any player. He's a top 100 player in the country.
It's amazing that we've talked about this game for almost 2 minutes and haven't mentioned Trae Young. The Trae Young experience was about what I was expecting it to do at some point. And I've been saying on this show for 2 months that I keep thinking he's going to come back to earth. And last night was really the first time that he has fully come back to earth. Where Trae Young was bad last night.
I mean, he scored 20 points, but I think he took 21 shots to do it. But what was really impressive for K-State, they forced him into 12 turnovers. I can't even remember a player with 12 turnovers. Of course, he has the ball in his hand like 60% of the time. But I just thought he was kind of disengaged. I think K-State kind of took him out of his game. He got out of sorts. And then I just kind of thought that, he got passive and just quit attacking. And K-State got into his head. And I wrote in my column today, you know, there's a lot of coaches that are going to download that game film, and they're going to see what K-State did, how they got him so out of sorts and so disinterested. Because I thought by the last 7 minutes, I thought OU just kind of gave up about the last 5-6 minutes of the game.
Well, you mentioned, I don't remember the last time that somebody had 12 turnovers in a game. Well, that's because it has been a long time. The last time that a player in a major conference had more than 12 turnovers in a game was in the 20th century. Oh. 1999, a player from Florida State by the name of Delvin Arrington.
Okay.
So that is the type of historically bad game that was for Trae Young last night. And you mentioned, 20 points, 21 shots. And if you were going to draw up a game plan of a team that maybe they could score some points and maybe they can be pretty good, the game plan of how to get that best player to have a bad night and give yourself a good chance to win, force that player to take 21 shots, score 20 points, shoot 2 out of 10 from 3, and almost have to make everything going to the basket. Because he had 6 points from 3, which means that he had 14 or 12 points going to the basket and 2 at the free throw line. So,
Two out of four. And you know,
and he's like a 92% free throw.
And he gets to the free throw line normally a lot more than that. I mean, normally he gets at least 10 free throws. So the K-State, give all the credit in the world to K-State. You know, Trae Young's human. He's going to have a bad game. He finally had
a bad game.
Yeah, but that sheer, you know, that some of his invincibility is kind of stripped away. I mean, everyone just kind of thought nobody can stop this guy. Well, K-State stopped him. Great win for K-State. Put some 3-3 in the Big 12, just 2 games back of KU and Texas Tech, and we've got a long way to go in the Big 12. We're not even close to the halfway point. I mean, the Big 12 season is 18 games, and what are we at? Six games?
Yeah.
So we're only a third of the way, if my math is correct.
That's pretty good math.
Yeah, that's pretty good math.
Had to bring out the calculator.
Yeah, we're only a third of the way through the season, so a long way to go. Now K-State's just got to build on that. They can't regress and have a stinker game. Saturday, I think they're home again Saturday. It's TCU. TCU struggling a little bit, even though they've played everybody tough. You know, they gave two games away against OU. They had OU beat twice, lost both those games. But K-State, folks, they're going to be an NCAA tournament team. If they continue to play at this, and I mentioned in my column, Kamau Stokes didn't play last night. There's no word if or even when he'll come back, because that foot injury apparently is really maybe worse than what a lot of people thought. But if he comes back, I think he'd be the perfect sixth man, because it looks like right now K-State's got great chemistry. You know, should have beat KU. They do beat OU. Kamau Stokes would give them what they don't have. They don't have any bench, and they have nothing out of the middle of their lineup in the center position.
The other important thing that happened last night that we haven't talked about yet today, but we talked about yesterday on the show, the Kansas Jayhawks, after getting into a position where everybody thought this is the year that they don't win the Big 12, they not only beat one of the best teams on the road on Monday night, but guess what? One of the other best teams lost to a team they probably shouldn't have. And look at KU sitting pretty atop the Big 12.
And if Texas,
this is a formula that continues to happen.
And if Texas wins at home tonight against Texas Tech, like I wrote in my column, I think I said, if Texas upsets Texas Tech, who would have said that before the season? If Texas wins at home against Texas Tech, then KU is all by themselves at the top one-third of the way through the season.
Who's surprised? This is exactly what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
And that somehow this continues to happen. West Virginia will probably go on the road in their next game and lose. This is just the way it works. And I'm sure Bill Self was watching that game, sitting in his mansion in Lawrence last night, and just smiling. Because I don't know what it is about the Kansas Jayhawks.
They get
not
help.
Only they make the opponents they
get,
that they're playing.
They
do
get unexpected
bad things,
help a lot.
They get help
every year.
And those teams at the top, they feel the Jayhawks sort of breathing down their neck, and they crumble. And it's amazing that it continues to happen over and over and over again. And Steve, I need to get out to Vegas, because the last two nights, I have predicted exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you said K-State would win last night. Trey Young
would be under 28. I said Dean Wade would have a good game.
Yeah,
he had 21.
And you had KU beating West Virginia.
I'm hot right now.
Yeah, you are hot. So are you going to bet on Jacksonville to beat New England?
Yes.
Well, I got to stop you right there. I think they're going to find a way. That is not going to happen.
I think they're going to do it. I'm taking both the road teams this weekend.
Minnesota. Well, I think Minnesota beats. I think Minnesota beats Philadelphia.
They're the favorites.
Yeah, I think that defense without Carson Wentz at quarterback, I think Philadelphia is very pedestrian on offense, and I think Minnesota has enough in the tank on offense to get it done.
Jacksonville. They're going to find a way, Steve. I keep saying this because I can't back down on this point. Now I will back down if New England wins this week, and I will concede. And I will put all of my money on them winning the Super Bowl over whoever they're playing. But I keep getting this feeling that this is the year that things start to crumble a little bit. It didn't happen against Tennessee because Tennessee played terrible. But Jacksonville defensively poses some problems. And I keep thinking that Tom Brady's going to have a bad game. And if Tom Brady has a really bad game, New England will have a bad game. And you saw what Jacksonville did against Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh's defense isn't anything amazing, but 45 points, and they are lights out defensively. Well, they had to give up 42 points the other day, but you know what that defense can do and force turnovers in the matchups that they have. Jacksonville. Book
wow.
It.
Bold. How bold.
I'm rolling right now.
Yeah,
I've been hot the last
few
days.
You are rolling, I will say
I picked them to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
so they're rolling right now. Yep. This is your gambling hour,
okay,
on According to Jim. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we want to talk about JoJo White, the former Kansas Jayhawk, a member of that 1966 KU team that ended up losing to Texas Western in the Elite Eight, and also a two-time NBA champion and NBA Finals MVP, as he died yesterday at the age of 71. We'll talk about JoJo White for a little bit coming up next on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and Steve, if these guys can't listen, guys or girls, I think we have a lot of female listeners as well.
Yes.
If they can't listen to our show live, tell them where to go listen to it.
You ask me that every day, and I can never remember. It's Sun Pod, what is it, the pod, you say it.
SoundCloud.com.
SoundCloud, I'm going to write that down. Because, you know, I don't think of that, but my friends in North Carolina probably do.
They're big fans.
I got friends in North Carolina, listen, Florida, you
name. They were ripping
it.
You in your column.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I had to kind of suck up, you know, after I picked KU to lose on Monday and they won. So, anyway, yeah, SoundCloud.com.
Slash.
You got me.
KBBE Sports.
There you go.
Yeah, he'll figure it out at some point. Maybe after the next 73 shows.
After 146, I'll get it figured out.
We're about to hit the quarter century, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Or three-quarter century.
Yeah.
We're moving along here. Well, we wanted to talk about something that popped up yesterday, and that was the death of former KU basketball player, former Boston Celtic, JoJo White. And you have mentioned to me before how much you admired JoJo White and how he was one of the guys for you that was the early figure to enjoy watching.
He was my very
basketball.
First college basketball hero. 1965, I was 8 years old. JoJo was at KU. He hit a shot against Texas Western. They said he stepped out of bounds, cost KU the game. If Texas Western doesn't win that game, college basketball history is forever changed because, of course, Texas Western went on to win the National College Championship, beat Kentucky in the finals. They were the first college basketball team to start five African-American players, and they were trendsetters. And that was a great team. I love that Texas Western team. Harry Flournoy, Orston Artis, Willie Cager, Willie Wersey, Big Daddy David Latin, and my favorite, Neville Shedd. I love Neville Shedd. He was a 6'8 forward. But I love that Texas Western basketball team. And KU, though, I thought should have beat him because I didn't think JoJo stepped out of bounds. But when I was in the third grade, everybody wanted to be JoJo White because he was so cool. He was so smooth, just a great player, just never seemed to make mistakes and shot the ball great. And, of course, I still say he's the most underrated player in KU basketball history.
Well, Steve, you hit on there for just a moment some of the racial elements that were happening in 1966, obviously, and a lot of that press from the media and talking about Texas Western, that happened for them because they were starting five black players, and I think that the stat there is that they were the first ever to do it in a national championship game.
Right,
because I think
right.
It was happening, especially
right.
At like
a national
Alcorn
championship
State
game,
or,
right.
Or some places like that.
Right.
But JoJo White, he was one of the few on a KU team, and you hit on something there that I think is very important, that when you were a kid in 1965, 1966, whenever it was, that kids wanted to be JoJo White
right.
Out on the floor. And for people that grew up KU basketball fans or even grew up in the state of Kansas, JoJo White would have been one of the first ever black athletes that white kids or black kids were looking up to.
Oh, exactly.
And I think that that is a really important part of JoJo White, is that the trendsetters at Texas Western, they got some of the highlights from everything, but JoJo White was doing the same thing in Lawrence. Now, Wilt Chamberlain had come through a decade before, but this was a different generation of people.
Right, right.
So you hit on the Texas Western game, and I have a friend that you know pretty well, and I think
Parrot.
A lot of people would know that Tom Hedrick, my old broadcast partner, he was the broadcaster for KU basketball throughout the 50s, throughout the 60s, and then he has been around forever. And I used to call Baker games with him, and I was on the phone with him this morning, and we were talking a little bit about JoJo White, and Tom was broadcasting the 1966 Elite Eight game against Texas Western.
Right.
And he says all the time, people ask him about that all the time. I don't know if he stepped out or not. I don't think so, but he was looking through crimson and red goggles. Or
yeah,
crimson.
Yeah, because see, I grew up listening to Tom Hedrick on KU basketball.
So I pulled an audio piece from him talking about that with me this morning, and this is what he had to say about the late, great JoJo White.
I'll just simply say about JoJo White, he and the great Danny Manning were the two most unselfish players ever to play at Kansas. And I remember before he ever played a game, Paul Gallen went over the auditorium and they were talking about the best players in the tournament. And Doc Allen said, the best player is not playing tonight, but he will in a semester. And you're talking about JoJo White. He was just a brilliant player. He was one of the best defenders I ever saw. He was the point guard in the true sense. He had a kind of a funny shot. He kind of leaned off balance to the right. But I always thought the game against Texas Western, and people have asked me 100 times, did he step out of bounds? I said, no. I could see a little daylight. But for me to sit and tell you to be objective about that, no, I can't be objective because I was there when we recruited him. I remember doing a job to actually keep him eligible, which was not an easy task because he overslept a final. But he was the greatest player I ever saw defensively playing the point at KU. He was a brilliant player.
So that was Tom Hedrick, former voice of the Jayhawks, talking about the late, great JoJo White. Tom is full of stories just like that, going, oh, I had to bail him out of a final because he overslept. Tom tells the story all the time about how he helped Gale Sayers learn how to read, that when he got to KU, that he could barely pick up a children's book and read, and that every Sunday, Gale would come over to his house, Tom would fix him some lunch, and they would pick up a children's book and teach Gale Sayers how to read. He had a radio show with Wilt Chamberlain back in the 50s. Tom Hedrick would be the guy to talk to about JoJo White, and we probably could have played 15 minutes of Tom talking about him, but JoJo White not only was a great college player, but he went on to be a terrific NBA player.
Celtics, yeah. I saw him play when the Kansas City Kings, were in Kansas City at the time, went over there. At Kemper Arena, and they were playing the Celtics. And, JoJo White was going up against Tiny Archibald. So, that was a great matchup.
And he was also a gold medalist in the Olympics. I believe it was the 1968 Olympics, which would have been in Mexico City. He also was drafted in 3 professional sports.
I did not know that.
Drafted by the Celtics, drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, and drafted by the Cincinnati Reds. And also served a year in the Marines before going and playing basketball for the Celtics.
Yeah,
so,
just a great, great individual. And like I say, you know, when people talk about the greats at KU, they always bring up Danny, you know, as number one and maybe some other guys. But JoJo's name never seems to come up. You know,
maybe it was just because it was a longer time ago.
Yeah,
and they
didn't win
a championship in his era. And
right.
I don't know if they went to a Final Four in that. I'm sure they went to at least one in that era, but they didn't go to.
Yeah, I think it wasn't until they had like Rick Suttle and Danny Knight and Bob Cavisto, I think, and those guys. I think that's when they went. Roger Morningstar, maybe, on that team. But I remember JoJo played with Walt Wesley, who was a 6'11 center. And then Roger Bonenstiel, they had Reinie Lochman, Phil Harmon, Vernon Vanoy. I remember those KU teams.
Me
well.
Too.
Yeah.
And for those of you that have not seen the movie Glory Road, it is Disney-fied a little bit, where it is a Disney movie depicting the Texas Western team that KU ended up losing to in the Elite Eight. But it's still a really good movie to learn about that era, and you get to learn a whole lot about JoJo White because they spent about 15 minutes talking about him in that movie. So JoJo White, the former KU great, passed away yesterday at 71 years old. Let's take one more break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Mid-America Classic, the McPherson Invitational coming up tomorrow, and we can even maybe dive a little bit into the NFL since we will be running like crazy the next 2 days and might not get to it. So you're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You are listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online, midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. As we just got done talking about JoJo White, we talked a little earlier today about K-State against Oklahoma and the first slowing down of the Trae Young experience from last night. If you didn't get to catch that, go back and listen on our podcast page, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. I didn't want to put the pressure on you again there, Steve.
Nah, I would have flown.
Yeah, I think you would have too. Well, as we take a look at what is coming up this week, it is a wild weekend of basketball. I think everybody in this area knows it well enough that the McPherson Invitational is something special. Mid-America Classic, same thing coming up next week on the girls' side. But we'll have some more time to talk about that a little bit later on.
And we want to mention that you can follow every game at midkansasonline.com. I'll have a story after every single game, box score. Kendall Shaw will have some photos for us from the games. So we're going to be your, I mean, this is the only place you want to go to keep up on the coverage of the McPherson Invitational and Mid-America Classic.
And also what we will be doing tomorrow. So you and I will be getting out there 2:45, 2:50.
I'll be there by 2 probably.
We'll be out there early and be able to make sure everything's going smooth. So we will also be doing some live hits from out at the Roundhouse. We will be calling back into here and talking about everything that's going on, give you some score updates for everything that's happening with the first game starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 4:45, 6:30, and 8:15.
They do a pretty good job of staying on schedule unless there's an overtime game.
Well, that's a good thing about playing just one game in high school. As long as it doesn't go to overtime, it should be pretty good. Derby against Bishop Carroll at 3 o'clock. Free State against Junction City, 4:45. Shawnee Mission East, Wichita North at 6:30. And then the Bullpups taking on Blue Valley West at 8:15.
And don't wait until Friday, because this first round is going to be as good a first round.
I like the early games.
Yeah, the early games are going to be terrific. I'm really looking forward to seeing Lawrence Free State. I've been, I talked to a lot of my sports writing brethren, people in the know. You know, I shouldn't say I talked, but texted and emailed.
Gary Bedore?
Yeah, they're telling – well, I didn't talk to Gary, but they're telling me, Lawrence, you better look out for Lawrence Free State because it's going to take a good team to beat them. So McPherson's going for its fourth straight invitational title. There is no shortage of challengers. We saw Derby. We know how good Derby's going to be. A Free State Derby semifinal would be a championship game in any other tournament, but that's a potential semifinal game. And McPherson, Shawnee Mission East, that'd be a dandy of a semifinal game. I think Shawnee Mission East gets past Wichita North. But if you go to midkansasonline.com, in my first of two Sell on Sports columns today, I give my order a finish. So check that out today to see how I think the tournament's going to play out.
And as we look at what the Bullpups have done against Shawnee Mission East and against Wichita North, against Shawnee Mission East, they have been to this tournament. I think this will be their 10th trip here, 10th or 11th, or maybe 12th or 13th, somewhere along there. The Bullpups have taken on Shawnee Mission East 8 times, and they're 7-1. The one loss came in 2007.
And that might have been a championship game.
I think it was, too.
Shawnee Mission East has won the championship. The Lancers, of course, got a great coach, Sean Hare. He's been in this tournament. He's been coaching, you know, 20-some years, and I always have a good conversation with him. He'll come back and sit down and watch, you know, one of the early games or one, you know, the game after his game where he's scouting. You know, he's come down and sit down, and I've got a good relationship with him. So, you know, he's very blunt. He says, you know, McPherson starts off 10 points ahead every game because McPherson Bullpup Nation is just so strong, and the Bullpups feed off their fans, and they're going to need their fans all three games starting tomorrow because this is not going to be an easy road for the Bullpups. If they win this tournament, they're going to deserve it because they're going to have to play three 6A schools more than likely to win the championship.
So we've talked about the fact that a lot of the hotels in town are not available at this point. So what is the schedule like for Shawnee Mission East, where they're going to play at 6:30 tomorrow night? So my guess would be
they stick around.
They come in early tomorrow, so they'll probably leave at noon or sometime around then.
They'll probably
then
stay
the night.
Yeah, they'll probably get there about halftime of the first game, and then they'll watch the game, the second game. You know, then they'll shoot around at halftime of the third game. And then after the game, they'll, you know, stick around and watch the McPherson game, you know, and then probably watch. I'm guessing Coach Harrell will let them watch a half. And then, especially if they win, then they'll go back to their hotel. And I don't know if they'll go to a shoot around. Sometimes they'll go to Mack College or Central College. They'll call like the coaches, Coach Schwartzendruber or Coach Romero up and say, hey, we want to shoot around in your gym. Coaches, of course, are very good about that. Mac, though, they do have Tabor here on Saturday. So, and I think Central's also home on Saturday, if I remember right. Mac, of
so
course.
So would they stay the night both nights?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Derby and Bishop Carroll,
it may depend because I don't know how they worked that out. But if they would lose the first game, then they'd have to play at 4:45. But if they drive, I think they're just going to stay. That'd be my guess. We can talk to Shane Bakus about that tomorrow, and he can give us some insight. We'll relay what the travel plans are for teams like Shawnee Mission East and Blue Valley West. You know, teams have to come from a far ways away.
And Free State would be in that same boat. Junction City is in sort of a weird spot.
Junction City will go back and forth. They're like an hour and 30 minutes or so.
I figured that maybe if they had an early game, they would stay the night, but I think they're close
They'll drive every day, I'm sure.
So we will keep you updated with everything coming up for that tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Roundhouse. I know there will be some people that will be there from 3 o'clock until the end of the night.
They'll be sitting in
day.
The same seat that you know they've sat in for years and years. It's always interesting to see the true diehards. Some of the diehards aren't around us anymore. They've been longtime fans. But 54 years that we've had the McPherson Invitational, that is just stunning to me. This is my 39th, so I've got to see – quite a few of them.
I can't wait for number 40 for you. We'll have a party. I think they need to honor you.
Yeah,
at
next year. Next year will be 40 years of covering the Bullpups. And if you'd told me that in 1979 that I would be covering Bullpups for 40 years, I would have just kind of laughed because I never thought that would happen. I can't believe people have kept me around, to cover the Bullpups. But
sounds like a whole lot of Piles and a lot of Alexanders.
I haven't been run out of town yet, so knock
still
on
got time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People can still run me out of town if they want.
They better get their pitchforks ready. I think he's got a steaming column coming up at some point. And again, we'll run through the Mid-America Classic bracket one more time. You can also find it on our website, midkansasonline.com. And for those of you that live close to here, we've got both brackets out on the front desk. So if you come in and you go, hey, I don't remember the bracket, just come in, walk in the front door, don't even talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Just walk in, grab a bracket, and go.
Yeah, and we've changed our table so you can see it easier.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
Yeah, this is the first time since I've worked here, that the table's facing the way it is. So we've kind of done a little rearranging. Place looks good. It smells good. Got all that good smell-em in the air. And, we're all cleaned up and ready to go. McPherson Invitational, there's nothing like it, nor the Mid-America Classic.
Then the Mid-America Classic bracket, one more time. Number 1 seed McPherson against Shawnee Mission South, the 8 seed, the late game on Thursday. 4 seed Olathe South against 5 seed Ulysses. 2 seed Hayes against number 7 seed Wichita Northwest. And then 3 seed Manhattan against 6 seed Shawnee Mission Northwest.
And the thing that surprises me most is that Hayes is the number 2 seed, 8-1. I don't know if they have a young phenom or something. They've been very pedestrian in this tournament for a long time. They've never played in the finals. They've been coming year after year. And a lot of years they haven't won a first-round game. But Hayes obviously has turned around this year, 8-1. And good to see them having some success. They're in the Bullpup Substate, as is Ulysses. Ulysses is 7-4, so it's going to be a great time for Coach Strathman to get a scouting report on both teams. You know, we play Buehler, so he's going to have – when we have the Substate here in March – first weekend of March, Coach Strathman's going to know everything there is about the teams coming in here.
That'll do it for today's show. Get some rest and wake up on Christmas morning tomorrow morning for the first day of the McPherson Invitational. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We will see you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KDDE.